Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode was recorded live at the Food Matters Live event held in Manchester in May 2025. Now, we know that different generations have vastly different health priorities, communication preferences, and product format needs. So, how do we create nutrition products that resonate with every generation? It's a complex challenge, but one that's becoming increasingly important as the active nutrition market evolves. That's the theme of today's podcast, and your speaker is Mark Evans, Senior Scientist at Holland & Barrett.
So what I want to talk to you about today is about how we can formulate and then communicate the benefits of different products across generations. Touch a little bit about sports nutrition, active nutrition, and then give some practical examples of how we're attempting to do that at Holland & Barrett. Hopefully there's a couple of points actually from the previous two presentations that will carry on through mine. And yeah, of course, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them at the end. I think in general, the role that science has to play in product development and communicating those benefits is only getting bigger. I know everyone here probably knows Holland & Barrett, but maybe might not know Holland & Barrett for science. I think in the last few years, the science team at Holland & Barrett has grown from one person now to a team of 15 and still growing. A team of scientists across various backgrounds, biomedical scientists, nutrition scientists. I'm a sports nutritionist by background. We also have dietitians and pharmacists as well. And we're working across a whole lot of different work streams, trying to integrate ourselves still into every part of the business, from product claims to product development, innovation, working alongside regs and the product development teams and marketing. So there's still a whole lot to do, but with the ultimate goal of Holland & Barrett being known for science. So no small goal. No better way to start a presentation than with a definition. But I guess from my view, working mainly on product development, when I think about active nutrition, is about formulating products for consumers of every age that want to be healthy and then also integrate physical activity. So again, it's not just about your athletes or even your higher end amateur athletes, but for everyone. But before, I guess, you understand active nutrition and where it's come from, I think you do have to understand a little bit about its big brother, sports nutrition. And you go back to 20, 30 years ago, and then even, I guess, now you still do have that kind of hardcore consumer base that are interested in maximizing performance, building muscle mass and maintaining muscle mass. The types of consumers, in this category, they are extremely brand loyal. They're interested in supplement quality. They buy a lot of products, but mainly products around your workout. So before, during, and after workouts. In the last few years, there's been a huge explosion in the appreciation of physical activity in the general population and how that can help you to lead a longer, healthier life. There's again a whole trend of health span, the amount of time that a person lives in their life in good health, and then helping people to extend that as long as they can. So again, there's some ingredients that have come from sports nutrition that can then play a role in that as well. And what I would say is that while quality is important to these everyday consumers, what's more important to them is kind of brand trust and also taste. So again, they are kind of similar ingredients, but different differentiators really between the two consumer types. So when we think about the key or the core missions that are generally involved in sports nutrition, the two that stand out to me are joint, bone and muscle, and also energy. So again, muscle, you think mainly about your protein products, and energy specifically around pre-workout supplements, and caffeine is the main one that comes to mind. But this broadening of active nutrition is opening up all of these missions that then lead back into helping people stay active, live longer lives, and live healthier lives. You know, again, we had it earlier on. If you're able to strengthen your immune system, it means that you stay healthier. It means you can actually then go out and exercise, feel better for longer. Stress and anxiety, I guess people automatically now create that link between the stress lowering effects of exercise. And if you can formulate products with efficacious ingredients at efficacious doses that helps people to reinforce those messaging on top of what they're doing day to day, that can be a really powerful message. And you can say the same about all of those other core missions, gut health, sleep and relaxation. Sleep is obviously a huge trend at the moment. It'll continue to be as the science still comes out around the benefits of optimal sleep, different sleep patterns, and how it then affects energy levels. Energy levels affect exercise. It all kind of comes back into a cyclical point of view. This is not really my area, but I just wanted, I guess, to touch a little bit on why it is a growing area. Like in terms of the market size in billion US dollars, and this is sports nutrition and active nutrition combined, but forecasted to grow to $37.8 billion by the year 2028. And although it is combined, a rising tide rises all boats. So what's good for one is good for another. And in terms of the factors, some of them that were pulled out in this research is the expanding consumer base as more people become aware of the benefits of these different missions and how it can help them to lead a better life. Holistic health and wellness trends, the influence of social media, which I'll touch a little bit on later on, especially with our younger cohorts, innovations in formats, the use of, you know, capsules and gummies and effervescence, chewables, opens up a whole new format to introduce traditional ingredients to new consumers. And I guess what's maybe specifically most relevant to this presentation today is the an aging population. So people who 20, 30 years ago were in the sports nutrition category, you know, they still want to stay physically active and they still want to perform at their best, but maybe not at the same level as they were as they move into a more holistic wellness trend. They have different health goals as well. So they've moved from one to another, but they want to stay in these categories. So getting on to the point of the talk, we have our different generations. We have our baby boomers, we have our Gen X, we have our millennials and our Gen Zs. So when you see them, I guess, lined out like this on a timeline, it makes complete sense just looking at them that they would have different health goals, different cultures, different values, would be interested in different trends, within sports nutrition and active nutrition. So how you want to formulate and how you want to communicate whatever your brand is or whatever your ingredient is needs to be different. So you need to always keep the end in mind. Who are you talking to? What are they interested in? What are their health goals? So I'll try to kind of summarize it how I see it and by pulling together some internal insights. So we have our baby boomers, you know, in terms of life stage, retirement, older adults. They're very health conscious, very loyal to brands, focus on aging well and staying mobile. And in terms, I guess, the source of information that they would look for, it's that, I guess, appeal to authority. They're looking for, you know, doctors, pharmacists, people who have that, I think, medical training that they still place a lot of value in, and that changes then as we look at our different groups. Gen X, midlife, very busy professionals. They're time poor, they're practical, they're looking for very quick solutions. And again, they're more interested in this holistic wellness and longevity, whereas they've probably grew up in this area of sports nutrition. They're now maybe much more busy in work, they're having kids, they still want to feel well, they're really looking for that convenience factor. In terms of millennials, again, new parents, you know, there will be some crossover between all of these. They're very informed, convenience driven, and they also value transparency. And then we have our youngest age group, social first, trend driven, they're highly visual, and I guess they're much more ethical. They, you know, care more about sustainability and identity, and especially when it comes to brands. They want to know that brands stand for something, that what those brands are doing, the ingredients that they have are efficacious. They do what they're telling you that they will do, and they're in there at the correct dose and in correct combinations to work and to have that effect. And science can feed into all of these things, whether it is ingredient identification, reviewing evidence. I know we had a question about what level of evidence is needed. To me, again, it's coming back to, is it randomized control trials? Is it well conducted? Is it in a specific population? You know, are you going to be looking at bone health in younger adults? Like, that's not really going to be relevant for the population that you as a company or an ingredient supplier actually want to talk to. So having scientists to formulate these questions, help you come up with the research, come up with the communication strategies that you want, I think is key. There's a high engagement with the active nutrition market across all of these age groups, 70 to 80%. I won't dwell on this too much, but what I do want to talk a little bit about is Gen Z, and to me, how Gen Z are just completely changing the game when it comes to communications. So this was another survey conducted just last year. 70, I think it was about 3,000 to 5,000 individual surveys. 70% Gen Z, US, UK, state that TikTok is the most valuable source of their food recommendations, or where they get their product recommendations. So again, if you're targeting that population and you're not on TikTok, you are missing that consumer. It's not just about the message that you're trying to convey, it's also about how you convey it. In the last couple of years, I was doing, it's not my background, but speaking to a lot of people that work in social media, especially working on the brand side, where anything that looks too polished or too put together, it looks almost too good, this population will automatically, or they will distrust it if they just see that it's coming from a brand, unless, let's say, it's a brand that they necessarily trust already. What they value is influencer-led messaging, and that then leads into the importance of leaning into influencers and how you then do that across the different platforms. I think there, it's like some law, it takes an order of magnitude more effort to refute bullshit than it does to create us. And then with the amounts, the reactivity or the pace at which trends come out and how influencers pounce on those, it becomes increasingly difficult for brands to actually do that. And then you have to have dedicated teams or people actually, let's say social media teams, to do that. But moving on from that, talk a little bit about, I think, what the key differences actually are between these groups in terms of their goals, ingredients, and format trends. So again, our baby boomers, fortified foods, RTDs, easily consumable. Gen X, again, much more about convenience, powders, tablets, capsules. They've probably come more from that sports nutrition background. Millennials, I think, are actually quite similar. But again, I think it's when you come down to Gen Z that they're more looking for new formats. Your ready to drinks are exploding still. Gummies are a huge one. I know internally at Holland & Barrett, coming up with a whole policy, around gummies and formats, and of course shots as well. So you'll see, there are some hero ingredients for each of these age groups that go through every single group. But in terms of the health goals, I think that's where the main difference is. So again, what are you trying to communicate? Always coming, from the end, what are you trying to communicate with your ingredient on what specific health goal is important for that consumer? And then leaning into the science, is the science there to back it up at an efficacious dose in that consumer? So again, everyone's interested in protein. So how would you actually want to communicate the benefits of a single ingredient across all the different lifespans? Well, if you're looking at nutrition in children, it's all about growth. And then as you move up again into that sports nutrition, consumer, it's all about muscle mass, building of muscle mass, growth, maintenance of muscle mass, convenience, RTDs, working it into foods as well. Then as you move into older generations, it's about mobility, you know, actually being able to stay active, to play with your kids, to, you know, walk up and down stairs, joint pain, all of that kind of feeds back into what you could talk about with protein products. And then as you move into older generations, you're then more looking at more health span related issues like bone health or prevention of sarcopenia. But I think I could actually kind of go back on myself there as well, because let's say if you're a brand that is interested in or marketing towards, you know, improved health span, you could actually be talking to younger consumers about the importance of bone health and muscle mass, because you reach peak bone health or peak bone density and peak muscle mass in your, I believe it's mid to late 30s. So if you're then trying to educate people about the importance of those two things on mobility, on staying active, on reducing the risk of fractures as you get older, again, you just need to tailor your ingredient and tailor your communication strategies to fit the purpose. I'll touch very, very briefly on creatine. It's been mentioned before, primarily associated with its effects on muscle and exercise performance. There is an EFSA health claim on that. Emerging research suggesting that oral creatine monohydrate supplementation may improve short-term memory and intelligence, reasoning in healthy individuals. There is some more emerging evidence in things like Alzheimer's disease and cognitive disorders, but I guess for the purposes of this, really looking at healthy individuals. But there's no EFSA-approved health claims for creatine and cognition, but it might be something that you want to help consumers make that link without outright stating it. And it's also, I guess, with creatine, I guess as a scientist, I don't have much of an issue with this, because it's I would call it a safe ingredient when ingested in the right amount and in the right way. Whereas with other ingredients with not such a long evidence base of safety, that's where, as a scientist, again, you would need to lean on them and ask them about the safety on that as well. But in terms of product development, how would you actually go about that? Well, let's say we have creatine, efficacious dose, 3 to 5 grams a day. If you want to have it in this kind of a supplement and you're trying to communicate its effect on performance and cognition, there's no health claim on that. But there are other nootropics or adaptogens, vitamins and minerals with efficacious doses, with EFSA approved health claims, that if you have creatine in that product, it allow you to maybe have it on pack, have it in marketing communications, and make those statements without directly linking it to the creatine in the product, but helping the consumers make that link themselves. Now, then it's up to you as a team to then talk to your regs department and make sure that they are also okay with that, and making sure that everyone is aligned. But everyone knows about, you know, increased focus and energy levels with caffeine, B vitamins, that should be 15% of the NRV, contributing to normal energy yielding metabolism. Cognitive effects there as well. I believe there's an EFSA health claim. Sorry, pantothenic acid, that was the one, contributes to normal mental performance. So we can help them to make the link. Let's say this, we have, you know, focus, nourish, performance, 3 grams of creatine per serve supports mental performance. Whereas that supports mental performance statement is linked to the pantothenic acid in the product. But because we have creatine in the product, because we have the approved EFSA health claim, we can then have that claim on pack, but then also support that with marketing communications, with in-store POS as well. So just summary, active nutrition is continuing to grow. Whole load of factors, but to me, it's an acknowledgement that all of these external missions like stress and anxiety can play a role in the traditional sports nutrition area. Always would keep the end in mind. Who are you trying to communicate to, and to try to do it in innovative ways? Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Food Matters Live podcast. Before you go, we've got some exciting news to share about more live events this year. We're heading to Ascot in October and Dublin in November. And for the first time, we're hosting an event in mainland Europe. in September 2025 will be in Rotterdam. Join us as we inspire the future of food. Learn more and sign up at foodmatterslive.com.